part. Your interview was eight.
That's so
sad. No, you
put me in part nine.
You have one. You have you have some wonderful stories. I don't know if I've already learned two things that I was not aware of.
What's that?
That the contributions that were made by Jews in Germany and I in supporting Hitler, and I knew that it was an indirect kind of thing because there was a post-war recovery that had to be made, but also mentioned something.
And see, history still repeats itself. So the Berlin Wall came down, and East Germany really was in the same shape business-wise as it was post-war, First World War.
Yeah, the only thing in the meantime, we've had, thank goodness, a stronger Germany that has now been able to help. I mean, when you think of Germany as isolated as it was after the First World War, there was no Marshall Plan.
Oh, of course not. Of course not. But it's, I think the rise of anti-Semitism now in the whole world is very scary.
And you think that it's as strong as it ever was?
No. And I think it's not as strong because when people aren't poor, you see, when you're living in a better economy, people don't have a scapegoat.
Exactly.
I mean, that's proven in history. I'm very perturbed at even what happened in Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago.
Which is what?
Which is, what's his name where the burned? All know this.
No, it has to go on tape, Jane.
It doesn't have to, dear. It was in the papers. It was of interest because they don't know whether it was Ku Klux or whatever.
What do you mean, the swastika is what you're talking about?
Yes. I think that's a very bad indication of something that's going on in Pittsburgh.
Such as
new groups forming or being reactivated. I don't think the Ku Klux is a new group. It's a very old group. It's a very dangerous group. And I think there are too many young people belonging to gangs now who are looking for just something to do, whether it's murder or drugs. Never anything constructive, it's always destructive.
Do you think it's because they have a need for peer approval and peer?
I think it starts at home base because there is no home base.
Right.
And and if there is home life, it's on a very low level. And it's also poverty, or one step above poverty, poor housing, lack of interest in going to school, poor food.
Do you think, since you've lived in Pittsburgh all your life and have been certainly involved with people who have impact on the community for social reasons.
Yeah.
Do you think there's been a major change, or do you think it's history repeating itself in another form, or what do you think is happening today that with youth and with poverty, or above the level of poverty, in comparison to what you have seen in Pittsburgh in the years that you've
Oh, been? I think this is national. I don't even think it's necessarily that it's sort of like a disease that's just spreading all over the United States. And I think part of it has to do with not recognizing this earlier on, both by government, locally, nationally. Being too involved in Washington scandals, to, with the whole world going on and needing and having major problems. And unfortunately, most of it has to do, I think, with unemployment. I think that's a terrible blight. I think that people that are on food stamps find it too easy to just keep on food stamps without having to do anything to eat. I really think that's a curse.
Yeah.
And I think there are plenty of people who would be, could work and maybe want to work. They just don't know how to go about it. There are too many women with too many children. Children don't have any homes, the women have no incomes. And that's a whole social scene. That's
Jane.
That's not unique to Pittsburgh.
No, I'm sure you're right. I know you're right. I, looking at some notes, your husband was involved with the American Jewish Committee, as you had mentioned, also with the Golden Triangle. Could you tell us the Golden Triangle Association?
Well, that's a business association
okay.
downtown.
And
it's still in existence.
It's very viable.
Very.
And he started it, or?
Oh, no.
Do you have any idea when it was started?
I haven't the faintest. Perry Morrison might be able to tell you. Anybody really that has offices downtown, most everyone belongs to the Golden Triangle Association.
What did Jack Kahn have to do with it? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. I worked for Mae Stearns for a long time.
And what did you do?
Well, I did buying. I did decorating. I did houses for shows, for building shows, showing how you could do certain rooms for so much money. You know, I went to the markets every year. I went to Chicago, I went to New York. Well, in those days, the main market was in Chicago. I think now it's moved down south.
Dallas? Or
No.
North Carolina?
North Carolina.
The industry is there, but some of the
I'm talking
shows...
industry. Well, some of the shows
okay.
may be in
okay.
Texas now.
I
really don't. I'm out of it for a long time.
So how long did you work?
Long time. Up and about, say about 10 years, a year, 10 years.
Your degree from?
Well, that had nothing to
nothing
do with.
Nothing at all.
With, no.
And what point did you decide to go to work?
What point?
What point in your life?
Well, really, in school, I decided to go to work. I just thought, you know, I was living with my grandmother, and I thought I needed a career. But unfortunately, in those days, young women didn't go to New York or California for a career.
Did this bother you?
What?
That you couldn't, that you weren't as...
I don't know.
You don't remember?
No, I really don't remember. Maybe it did. I was sort of a liberated person, or thought I was.
Oh.
As much as I could be, any more than you could have been.
Just about, right? Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, women have only found the freedom they thought pretty recently.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What, the past 25 years?
Maybe 30, something like that.
Not more than that.
No, absolutely not.
I think there's still a lot of resentment on the part of many groups of men.
Did you sense it when you were working, or were you in a sort of a
no.
safe?
No, oh no.
You were safe because you were...
Absolutely.
So you, no one would have ever expressed
no,
it, even
no.
if they thought that.
Uh-huh. They wouldn't dare anymore.
No, I wouldn't think so.
That was one break I had. That was one break.
It was a nice break.
Certainly.
Okay. Your degree from Chatham was in what area?
Oh, just liberal arts.
Okay. So obviously you have exquisite taste, but didn't you have to have some training to do decorating and buying?
No, I just did it.
You just did it?
It's just sort of natural.
That couldn't happen now.
Yes, it could if your family owned the business.
Well, and don't forget, it gave me entree, which I now miss terribly. I mean, I could go to markets and get discounts. Shows me now to pay everything retail. I've never gotten used to that.
I wouldn't think so.
Never.
I wouldn't think so.
I like my 10 and 20% discount.
Edie Blattner is a good friend of mine, so I know what you're saying.
Yeah, well, see, she would be in the
same
boat.
Exactly. What is your relationship to Lewis Kaplan?
Lewis Kaplan was married to my aunt.
Who was?
Who was Florence Lehman. Ended up Florence Lehman Grismish. She was my aunt. She was my sister's, my mother's sister.
And could you tell us a little bit about Lewis Kaplan? Tell you very honestly, one of the interests we have, we know that he spent some time at the Gusky home. Is that correct?
Oh, yes. Like he and his brothers.
Okay, but can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, if I didn't know him then. But I know that his parents were in the Johnstown flood. That's where they were killed.
His parents died
his
in the
flood? His parents
flood.
Died in the Johnstown flood. And how these boys, three boys, got to Pittsburgh, I don't know. And were put in the Gusky Orphanage. Maybe they were brought here because of the orphanage. Maybe there was an orphanage in Johnstown. I mean, I don't know. And they were brought up in the orphanage. And by the way, my Uncle Leo Lehman was very interested in the Gusky. And we used to go out there on Pesach because the board was invited. And I wasn't on the board, but I went with my uncle and my grandmother. And that's when the children got all of the matzo balls and the fancy chicken dinner and then they had the services.
And where was Dusty?
Perrysville Avenue.
North side. And do you have any idea of how many children were there or that time?
No, but I'll tell you who could tell you. Sure. Judy Grower.
We've interviewed her.
Okay, well, yeah. She could have told you all that. But, you know, her father was, of course, when my uncle was there, it was long before her father was there. As the, whatever he was.
And who were the Guskies? Do you remember?
Oh,
no idea. And do you remember when the changeover occurred, where orphanages were considered something that maybe foster parents could take over because the family and children, Jewish
That's
family.
That's right, Jewish Family and Children's Service, but they could tell you that.
Okay, now I'm just curious. No, I want that. I know, but I'd like to. Do you have any recollection?
No.
None.
No. Or maybe Judy Grower could tell you.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't my field.
And that wasn't something that you observed or remembered?
No. Well, what would I have to remember? I went there.
Just for the?
Yeah. And I was there once a year for a couple of years. But Lewis Kaplan, as I say, he and his brothers apparently were there for a number of years. And then, his mentor, you know, was Judge Cohn, Josiah Cohn.
Oh, it was, okay. That was Kaplan's...
And how the Cohns got interested in him or why, I don't know. But he saw that Lewis Kaplan went to law school.
Which was where, do you know?
Well, I think it was Pitt.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it was Pitt. And, see, he's buried on there with them. with Josiah and Karen.
In which is where? Is that at Westview or?
Yeah.
And what happened to his two brothers? They were just his mentors. The other two brothers, you have no idea what happened. Or?
One, as I recall, one managed a nightclub or something in East Liberty. But this is all. Don't take this verbatim because
okay.
I'm not sure. You know, I was pretty young. I was a teenager
sure.
at the time. The other one, Morris. Move somewhere out west. I don't know where. I really.
And then Lewis Kaplan stayed very interested in the Gusky home, didn't he?
Oh, always. Yeah. Always, yes.
And what was his involvement with it?
I haven't defined it. Because as I say, it was just something that, you know, as a young person, your family's involved in something that doesn't particularly interest you
right.
necessarily. And then Lewis Kaplan married my aunt. And even after they were divorced, and my aunt remarried and moved to Boston, we always considered Lewis Kaplan as a member of the family. And he always considered himself as really we were his family. He had no family.
He didn't.
He had no family.
Just his two brothers.
That's right. And they were ordinance with.
Jane, what are some of the things that, that have interested you personally in the community? Any projects that were in your sort of your...
Well, I was... I did Rite of Shelley's... what was it, their lectures? I don't remember what day their lectures are. They still have lectures. I did that for a couple of years for Rite of Shalom. I was active in the temple when my children were in Sunday school. I guess all mothers do that. I did a very big job for women at the Y. We called it the Y then. It's now the community center.
It was YMWHA at that time on Belfield.
Yeah. And I did cooking classes.
For whom?
And had all kinds of people involved. Some of them went on, I think, to open restaurants.
Do you remember anybody or the name of any restaurants or?
One was a Chinese lady. She had a restaurant out in the Fox Chapel or Aspinall or something.
Oh, Anacao?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Isn't that interesting?
She was wonderful.
Yeah. She ended up being a teacher herself.
Yeah, right. They were all young women. They were terribly interested in cooking, and so. And, then we did the table decorations, and then we did the holiday menus, and I had a secretary, Pauline Osaroff, if you remember Pauline Osaroff. She was appointed as my secretary because there was an awful lot of work to do.
Was she a volunteer too, or was she a paid?
No, she was paid.
Paid.
She was paid, yeah.
And this was all at Rota?
Oh, this was all at the Y.
Oh.
This was all at the Y. We did this whole program at the Y. And then we also got some chefs at the time to do a night thing.
And do you remember
the
chefs?
Sort of end of the year night thing.
With, you mean together with men? And
yeah, yeah. And, you know, people love to cook. This is an ongoing thing that'll go on as long as there are human beings eating.
You like to cook?
No, no more.
But you did at that time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, see, once you're alone, who are you going to cook for? I like to plan things. I'm terribly critical of food. Don't start me on Pittsburgh residents.
I wanted to ask you something, Jane, and through the years, either working, even though it was your, you know, your family business, you run into anti-Semitism personally in any of your
No. No. Only time I ran into anti-Semitism was during the war, when I first started with the Red Cross. And I went to some Red Cross thing. I think we, those days we did bandages and all that kind of stuff. And boy, did I run into it there.
You did.
Indeed.
Any specific...
Hear your name, get up and move. You know, you might get leprosy or measles. I spent a very short time with that. And I can tell you that I have a very nasty feeling about the Red Cross from that day to this.
And the managers or the directors of it were the same, or was it just some of the volunteers?
Well, this was just a bunch of women we met. I think it was somewhere in East Liberty in those days. And I came a couple of times and got such a frigid response from these people. So then I joined the American Women's Voluntary Services, which had started in New York. This was during the war. And I eventually ran it here in Pittsburgh. And we wore uniforms. And I got into places that the average person didn't.
Like what?
Of steel mills.
What was the whole purpose for this organization?
The whole purpose was that things were going on and people had to be driven. I was on, they built ships, you know, at Bravado, that were landing ships. You know, the things came down and they rolled the tanks off. And there were all kinds of personnel that came to see these different things that were going on. Pittsburgh, you know, was a hub of things going on during the war because we were a steel town. So that I was cleared by the Army to go to into these places or onto these things because I had clearance.
And what
I drove parades, I drove bond rallies, I've driven movie stars and Fred Astaire.
Oh, how about the Army War Show? Was that a part of it, or the
I've
canteen?
Been on bombers when they came into Pittsburgh. I got on those bombers.
There was an Army War Show, Irving Berlin. I think they did. Was that any part of your group?
No.
How about the canteens? For the, no, that was not under where the volunteers would meet the soldiers.
I drove people very often to Deshaun Hospital.
Which was where?
Oh, they had a Grand Butler. And Army personnel came, and Deshaun Hospital was strictly for wounded Army personnel. And since I would have to wait for whoever I drove, because they didn't say, I'll be an hour, you just wait until they're finished. I would talk to some of the men, and I always took cigarettes with me, because these guys were so shell-shocked, some of them. When you see them face on, boy, war is hard. And they'd be so nervous, and I'd say, would you like a cigarette? You know, they'd be sitting outside, and they'd like to talk to somebody, and oh, boy, did they want to. I kind of calmed them down. So I'd have some interesting talks with Terry O'Hara. And I got I got all kinds of things. It was wonderful because since I drove, and you had to have stamps for shoes, and you had to remember that.
Mm.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you're too young. And you had to have stockings that were very hard to come by. And
they were silk. They weren't nylon.
That's right. And at the time, my kids were so little, they needed a new pair of shoes, like, you know, every other minute they were outgrowing shoes. And you still needed those coupons, whether you had, you needed shoes or your children needed shoes. And I knew the right people in the right places, so it was simply marvelous.
So who did you know? Tell us. Who were the right
people?
I
knew somebody in Gimbel's, who was one of the heads of Gimbel's, and who was very involved. Since he didn't serve in the Army, he did his stint by doing nice things.
Could you tell us who that was?
Oh, he's long gone. I don't remember his name.
It wasn't Mr. Blum?
No. Oh, I knew Jack Blum. I just talked to Ellie Blum this morning. I knew a guy at McCann's when McCann's was downtown, who had the parking garage, so that he would give me parking and I could get gasoline coupons from him. You had to do sort of this black market behind the scenes in order to keep doing your thing.
Sure. And you didn't get extra because you were part of this volunteer group? They didn't give you an extra allotment of gasoline? Or we had A, B, and C tickets cut,
right? That's right. That's
right,
we did. And see, we also serviced the airport at the old Bettis Field. That's how I got to go on so many planes out there. Because they were coming and going. I didn't fly on them, but I got on those big bombers or something. I saw one was in the show here, one of the bombers, one of the few that's still in existence.
If you take a specific route, my husband's made me aware of it, in Pittsburgh today, I don't know whether it's a new airport, there are quite a few bombers in Pittsburgh.
Well, yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
I
guess there's
today,
still.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they would be modern bombers.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a whole group, battalion or whatever, stationed here
right
quietly.
Here. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you see, we did the old airport. And
51, right?
Yeah. And I knew all that personnel there. And there used to be people who would ask and have benefits. And they would ask this. One was a major. I still remember his name, Major Etherington. I remember that crazy name. And a Mrs. Johnson lived in the house where Temple is now on Forbes Street.
And what did Mrs.
And Mrs. Johnson always wanted to do things for the Army personnel. She had that great big house. Well, now they put an addition there to make, the Temple. They bought that, I think, from Mrs. Johnson's estate, I'm not sure. And I know Major Etherington used to call me and say, Mrs. Johnson wants to have another affair. And we really don't want to come because they're pretty boring. Of course, these boys were beer drinkers, he didn't exactly like a martini. And we'll come if you'll come. And I think they felt at home around me. Meanwhile, see, I was married, and doing all this and trying to raise two children. And, we had some blackouts in Pittsburgh. And my husband, I used to meet him in Florida when I was in Florida during the war. and drive from Palm Beach to, I think it was Lauderdale, in blackout, because they blacked out the shore of
Florida. How did you do that? How can you drive without
your
lights?
Dimmers.
Dimmers. Well, you didn't drive as fast either.
Oh, also you didn't. And sometimes I'd have to do it at 2 a.m. because he would call me from the airport because they could get bumped any time.
Because of the Army.
Because of the Army, yeah. And he'd say, I'm supposed to be on XYZ plane. Well, I'd have to hope that he'd be on it. Sometimes he wouldn't be. So I'd drive this huge distance and hope he'd be on it. And I'd drive, in those days, there weren't all those super highways down in Florida. You know, what there was 95 and all those. I'd drive ashore. And then they were warning you about perhaps German submarines